girl who tripped through the bottom of the well. Woke up in a dream with a curious habit, chasing a little white rabbit.
Hello and welcome to Two Old Guys on the Back Porch. I am Steve Scotch, and we have the lovely and talented Cat. That's C-A-T, chilling like Dylan. Cat, what's going on?
Hey, how y'all doing? We can be found on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. We also can be found on Facebook and Instagram. Give us a follow. We're going to shout out two of our listeners today. One, they're both in the Carolinas. One is Mount Olive, North Carolina. Of course, that is the home of the best, absolute best pickle company, Mount Olive Pickle Company. We've got plenty in the fridge behind me. What's your favorite pickle, Steve?
I like the dill. Or you mean brand? Mount Olive?
Mount Olive.
That's the only choice we've had like our whole life.
Pretty much. I'm a sweet midgets girl. I love a little sweet midgety. Our other town.
That's the worst one.
That is not the worst one. Okay, our other town. See, when I was a kid, we would have a pickle plate. There would be a whole plate.
I know, my grandma did that.
Dedicated to the pickle.
That's why I always like pickles and olives, because they were on the table back in the day. But I don't want a sweet pickle. I don't like it. I don't want a little sour.
I've got a sweet tooth. Our other town, of course, is Greenville, South Carolina. Greenville was known as the textile center of the world. Greenville was originally named Pleasantburg. It changed in 1832 to give some props to Nathaniel Greene. They're the hero from the Revolutionary War. Giving y'all a round of applause.
All right. All right. Alcohol is never far away from the back porch. You know, I never liked the term drunk. You know, if you call me or someone else a drunk, it just doesn't sound very nice. I always prefer the term alcohol enthusiast. Today, I'm enthusiastic about Pacifico with a lime. All Amigo brews, they must involve a lime. Limes make everything better. You've heard us bitch. What is like the third summer out here on the back porch, maybe? Of when summertime comes in the Commonwealth of Virginia, it is just straight up common. So each day it's brew 30 when I get off work. Cat, what you got?
As we are recording this, it's Father's Day weekend, and the man who has me by the bottle, Ryan Reynolds, came out with a great version of his usual Father's Day cocktail, but it seems a little special because, of course, he has a movie coming out. This is the Deadpool vasectomy. Of course, that's coming from a father of four, so.
Yeah, it's time to get it trimmed. All right, take a sip. Let me see what you got. It looks pretty good. What's in it?
Cranberry, lemon, and, of course, some Betty Buzz.
Wow.
And of course, your aviation gin is the star of the show.
Yeah, sounds sweet like you, babe.
Thanks, Don.
All right, with vacation season in full swing, we're going to decide whether it's better to go Airbnb or hotel. Now, we just recently did the hotel thing, and nothing's much really changed in the hotel world other than trying to figure out how much it's going to cost. If you've been tried to book a room in a hotel over the last couple of years, you're going to know the deal already. Whatever site you go on or app or whatever and try to make a reservation, and there's thousands of those things out there now. You go on there, it says the room costs $212 on Monday. And it's $217 on Tuesday, $215 on Wednesday, $224 on Thursday, and of course, $232 on Friday and Saturday. Just, I mean, what kind of dodgy bullshit is this? I know the room's going to be a little higher on the weekend, okay?
Of course, we didn't know it was Memorial Day weekend, so.
Well, calendars help. But, you know, different prices, right, for each day of the week. You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, is that some dirty shit? So the little journey we took, I know nobody cares, but we went to Portsmouth, Virginia. It's like two hours east of here, just for a night. Every once in a while, I got to get out of town. You know, it's like, it's just life. It's, I really have no gripes, but I'll make up shit. You know, it's like work's bugging me out. Not really. The house, you know, the home, family, like whatever. You just got to get away. You know what I'm talking about. You can feel it. You know when it's coming. So me and the wife, you'll just bug out every once in a while for a night or two. So that's what we did. So we head to Portsmouth. They got this. They got a Sino there. How about the state of Virginia now? As conservative as we are, or have been, you can blow weed now and gamble. Okay, they figured out both of those are money makers. So have at it.
North Carolina's jealous. They're trying to get a casino there.
Yeah, so me and the wifey, whatever, we'll hit the slots, blackjack table every once in a while. And the Rivers Casino in Portsmouth, it was cool. I mean, they had roulette, craps, blackjack, poker room, tons of slots. We're going to hit it again. I had chips in my hand, so it was all good. But so Kat goes on whatever site or app it was. And it said the room was, we picked out the Renaissance Hotel, which is right there on some little water canal passage thing or whatever.
We saw ships getting, naval ships.
It's cool.
Repaired.
It's like where the harbor, what do they call it? Harbor side or water side or whatever. There's like little shops, restaurants, museums, stuff to do. We're going to go back and do it up proper again. And so the site says it's $232 for the night. I'm like, okay. Then as you proceed on, here comes the extra shit. Are you going to be parking your car here? Well, we thought about bringing the helicopter and landing that on top of the parking deck. We said, fuck it, we'll just take the Camry. Oh, that's extra. You want a room with a view of the water? That's extra. So as you keep tapping this thing, it goes up and up, and you don't know. And so it's like, do you want the room or not? You hit that. And then there's tax and shit involved. So now this room that was $232 a night.
Portsmouth has to have their money, man.
And now we're up to like $290-something. Okay? It's just a bunch of crooked BS shit going on here. But that's what you have to go through in order to book a hotel. You know, no more actually calling the Holiday Inn and going, hey, can we get a couple nights in July? That shit's over with. So the Renaissance Hotel we stayed at, it was nice. Room was great. Parking deck right there. Everybody's nice. Really can't remember a time when we've really had a bad experience in a hotel. Can you?
No, not really.
A little history lesson.
You have to go to Myrtle Beach to find that.
That's right. Forgot about that. Vacation from hell. Suck it, Myrtle. The first hotel opened in Japan in 705. That's right. I said 705. But the Airbnb options popped up in 2007 in San Francisco. They have over 5 million hosts, as they call them.
Say again, what year did the Airbnb start?
2007.
That's weird because we had the real estate crisis 2008.
Well,
probably what happened why we have Airbnbs. There are too many houses that were financially gone the other way. Well, we got to make some money here. Let's open up these things.
Right. So the Airbnb, I was wondering where did they get this name? You know, Air Bed and Breakfast. Evidently, the founders of this thing, who started their website or app or whatever it is, they started, they must have had a big house or a big apartment because they were renting out air mattresses in their living room, den, or whatever, and kind of turned it into a bed and breakfast. Like, for a certain price out in San Fran, you get an air mattress on the floor, and we'll fix you some bacon and eggs in the morning. And then, like, the bell went off in their head, right? And they're like, you know what? Maybe we can turn this thing into a $9.6 billion enterprise. And that's what they did. Brian Chesky, I guess, Chesky. Sorry, Brian. He got the thing going with this other dude. Very smart, you know, setting up host and guest, as they call them. And these dudes just sit back and count the money. Genius. You know, as far as being a host or a guest, what's the risk? What is it going to cost you? I looked into this thing, and the hotel fees are dodgy. The Airbnb shit, there's like a page of it that could go down. When you try to book somebody's house or whatever the hell it is.
Well, I mean, there's horror stories on TikTok of people, they get there and what they expected to have wasn't at all like they thought. They had the house to themselves and there was like five other people and five other bedrooms.
You can find a lot of bad stories about it. I think if you like to go to a certain place each year,
right,
and you get to know the host and the guests, get to kind of know each other a little bit, and there's some trust there,
right,
and everything works out, then I can see the thing working.
Well, I mean, you know, think about Nag's Head. How many beach houses are down there? And there are people that go to that house every year, and they're rental companies that rent it out. Well, this is kind of like that,
getting
but without the middleman getting their cut off the top.
Well, I'm going to show you how that's not exactly true. So Airbnb, they collect a flat 3% fee on the reservation from the host, okay? Who are the people offering their property up to the guest? Then another fee pops up when a guest books the reservation. Now, a person booking a stay at an Airbnb probably will pay somewhere around 14% over the initial booking subtotal. Okay, that's not a little bit of money. That's a whole lot more. Now, I like how they use the term subtotal. There's more. The fees keep coming. The host can charge cleaning fees, extra guest fees. Oh, well, you want to bring your dog fees.
Well, if you see how some people treat these things, you could understand that. Like, I watched one today on TikTok. The people had used every single white towel that was available within like a mile radius. And they all looked like they had, what's that thing they put on, your bronzer? That you put on your skin to make you look like you have
white
a tan.
Towels are
white
now
towels
beige.
And bronzers all, and every single one. And you got to get that, you got to clean that shit out.
Yeah. You ain't got to worry about it.
And there's been some that people, you know, it looks like they use it as a birthing center. Yeah. I'm being honest. They went and had a child there because there was like, you know, pools with water in the middle of the room. I mean, some people do abuse this.
Well, again, you start out, and again,
you
I'm talking about...
You wanted that at-home birth, but it won't at your home.
I'm talking about the price of this shit, okay? And it's not just hotels. It's not just Airbnb. Hell, it's buying a ticket to go see Weezer, which I wouldn't go see Weezer now. I just picked him out of my head for some reason. But again,
Beverly Hills. You
look and the ticket's $64. And then there's fees and fees. By the time you get through, it's costing me $112 to see a band that should have quit about 10 years ago. But you get back to this Airbnb thing. I mean, there's a whole list of shit they can pop you for. And there's like local taxes are applied in some areas. I mean, it's, I don't know. It sounds like a bunch of bullshit to me. But and when you go on the Airbnb site and you look on the map and it's got the prices right, it looks inviting. But the price they show, that's not what you're paying. Now, I understand the lure of the Airbnb. It's a freaking house.
It's a freaking house.
Okay. Sometimes it's a cottage or shit. Some people are renting out a trailer, you know, an Airstream or some shit. A treehouse.
We have a neighbor down the road that is renting out a trailer that you can go pet the goats after you get out of the trailer.
There's so many options on this thing, you know, but as far as offering your house to strangers who are going to crash on your couch, sleep on your bed.
Well, you got to see.
I'm not getting down with that.
Some of these places are not your personal house.
Exactly.
You own it, but it's like.
It's like a rental house.
It's like a rental house.
Exactly. I know.
And I think that there's some options where this is like the best. Like, you have a huge family and you can rent this house and we're going to divide up the amount. Or another option is if you were like Bachelorette weekend.
I know there's some Airbnbs
that cater specifically for bachelorette weekend, like at Nashville and Scottsdale.
Well, how about renting your place out for a bachelor party?
Yikes.
You want to talk about shit getting tore up? You know, you do get a chance to screen the guest. If you're a host, you can ask them some questions. Of course, they may lie. But at least, you know, ask something to try to make sure your property doesn't get shit mixed. I mean, Kat mentioned some of these horror stories surrounding the Airbnb experience. I'm sure most people have had no problem, you know, again, especially if the host and the guest kind of get to know each other after a while. You know, the guest really likes the place. It's in an area they like they keep coming back. It's kind of a win-win for everybody. But in some cases, the Airbnb, it can go tits up. I mean, say the guest you let crash at your place, they don't treat it very nicely, right? Dump their bong water in your flower pot, leave some old fucking food in the fridge.
You say no smoking inside and outside the house, and there's cigarette butts everywhere.
It's hard to get a smell, whether it's Chinese food, leftovers in the fridge, or cigarettes. It's hard to get it out of there. You know, they just go outside, flick cigarette butts all over the back patio. I'm not even going to get into the bathroom situations.
Oh,
Lord knows what goes down in there. And it's not just the guest that can screw this shit up. I mean, there's stories of the host doing a bunch of dodgy shit, too. Hidden cameras place. Say the dishwasher or the washing machine or something takes a dump while you're in there. Water's everywhere. The host is liable to pin it on your ass and want you to dish out major bucks for a new appliance. You know, the perfect scenario is you find a place in an area you like, you know, once a year for vacation. You and the host kind of, you know, get along to some point. And I can see it happening. I can. But, you know, if you want to stay in a place that's where the action is, that's where the hotels are. These houses people are renting, unless it's on the beach. You know, some of these, it's just a house out in bumfuck nowhere. I mean, I don't know. To me, the location is going to determine whether I go hotel or Airbnb.
I'm never going
Airbnb.
If you were in like trying to go just away from everything and need that special little cabin in the woods, near the national park, do it. Do the Airbnb.
Anyway.
But I mean, us, we want some action. We want to go. You know.
Whoa. Okay.
I mean, we want to go to the casino.
I remember you said that. All right. So the choice is yours: Airbnb or hotel. You know, do you, and we'll do us. I don't see two old guys on the back porch doing no Airbnb, but who knows? Never say never.
There might be an occasion that we want to do that.
Never say never. All right, let's roll right into One Tough Son of a Bitch. Woo! It's the Fabulous Freebirds. Not the Fabulous Thunderbirds, the Fabulous Freebirds. We're going old school wrestling. Debuted in 1979. Michael P.S. Hayes, Terry Bam Bam Gordy, and Buddy Jack Roberts. These three men, they ruled whatever wrestling territory they entered back in the day. You know, back then, wrestlers, they traveled by car, drove from show to show, partied like party animals in between, and then hit the spotlight and put on a show. These cats did it for close to 20 years. The Fabulous Freebirds, no one worked as hard or partied as hard as these dudes did. Michael Hayes talking shit to and about anyone who got in the way. Terry Gordy, just a mountain of a man, could wrestle his ass off. And Buddy Roberts was just old school cool. And I know me talking about wrestling from the wrestling heyday, you know, might not do it. But go on YouTube and check out some of the clips of the Fabulous Freebirds, because you got to see these dudes. They were big and they were badass. I tried to watch wrestling the other night, and it sucks. Vince McMahon, hopefully they put that piece of shit in jail. The product has been so bad for so long. And I just clipped on some old school shit the other night, and these dudes, they didn't really come through our town that much, but I remember them. They were fucking awesome. And they were like one of the first wrestlers that entered the ring with music being played. And of course, they were the Fabulous Freebirds, so they had the song Freebird by Lynyrd Skynyrd playing in the background, which really got the crowd jacked up and juiced up. Inducted into the Wrestling Hall of Fame.
They established the Freebird Rule, which states two members of the three-man tag team can defend the team's championship. This rule is still used today.
There's no rules in wrestling. You make shit up that night. They go backstage and talk about it. But I'm telling you, it's just to see. I know I'm old dude on the back porch. I know. And you're like, well, you're just old and you don't like new shit. I'm telling you, wrestling has been fucked through the years. Back in this day, man, these dudes were badass. Like I said, wrestled like a bitch, partied like a bitch. They're in the WWE Hall of Fame, and that makes the Fabulous Freebirds one tough son of a bitch. Are we still watching stuff?
We're still watching, and I found another reason to keep the Peacock going. What's our favorite sport that's on Peacock and that we watch most of the year?
Soccer.
Soccer. So, of course, Peacock came up with this great idea called Love Undercover, where they took a bunch of soccer players from Europe and Mexico, maybe, and brought them over here and set them up in this cool pad in L.A., invited some ladies over. But they could not tell them that they were soccer players. They took away the Rolex watches, the nice jewelry.
What was this called?
This is called Love Undercover. So they had to pretend like they were just average Joes. You know, one pretended he was a construction worker. The other one was in sales. One was like a personal trainer.
All right, get to the point, because anyway, this sounds bad.
It is not bad. This nice, successful international soccer players had to be.
Why is he on this show then? He can't find a nice girl back
home? That was my question. Why did you know? But see, that's trying to find that if the women actually like them for themselves and not standing on the huge egos and wallets and everything that they
bad
are famous
premise.
For.
Totally bad premise.
And it's
premise.
Very interesting, because like the one guy was like a famous Mexican soccer player. They take him to like Universal Studios. And of course, all the amigos are like, hey, There he is. So there's
he got recognized.
There's Marco, and he's like, you know, hey, everybody, cool it down. Don't be, you know, seeing me as Marco. And it's kind of interesting. And of course, rather than them picking the girls are picking them. And a lot of the girls pick the nice young guy, Lloyd Jones from Liverpool. So, of course, they all wanted Lloyd because, of course, he was easy on the eyes, nice young buck. You know, they didn't always go for it. Who was Jamie O'Hare, who's now with Sky Sports in the UK.
All right.
But it's interesting to see these guys get, like, chopped down to regular Joe status and had to be a
little... They're used to being applauded for their average soccer
right.
play.
Right. They were like, you know, girls usually come to us. We don't have to pursue them. You know, you have to actually work on your
interpersonal skills. How many times have I said about a musician or an actor or actress, if they worked at Food Lion, you'd walk right by them. You wouldn't even know. So this little show here just confirms what we already know.
Anyway, it's somewhat interesting. You know, my daughter, who's not really into like shows like this, is sitting there with me. She couldn't stop watching because it was just so interesting to see the guys just like kind of melt a little bit.
Anyway, I could probably stop.
You could probably stop. Anyway.
What's it called?
It's called Love Undercover. It's on Peacock.
Good luck with that one. All right. After that, I need a shot.
Okay.
What's the shot of the week, babe?
The week shot is a good one here. It's getting, the sun is getting a little hotter in the sky. It's called the sunburn shot.
Ouch.
Fireball and coconut rum.
That's all?
That's it.
All right, down the hatch. At least it doesn't look like mud like the other ones. Oh, you got more than I did. Whew. I tell you what, it's not bad. But the shots that involve Fireball always overrules whatever else is in the glass. And you've heard me put Fireball down before because I think it's, I don't want to sound like an elitist, but I am. I'm drinking like good shit and Fireball is not, but I will say it leaves that taste on your tongue like those Fireball freaking
right.
candy things. I will give them that. All right. I guess it's called what again?
The sunburn shot.
Sunburn shot. It's sunburn season. Take that baby out on the beach and down it. It ain't bad.
But remember that SPF you need for your skin.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to band of the week. It's Molly Tuttle. You should know her. 31 years young from Santa Clara, California. Molly Tuttle has an awesome band, too, called the Golden Highway. I can't pronounce their name. Sorry. Browen Keith Hines on fiddle. Browen. Sorry. Dominic Leslie on mandolin. She's got a guy in her band on banjo called Kyle Tuttle. There's two Tuttles in the band, not related. That's pretty wild. And we got Shelby. Shelby Means on bass. She's pretty badass, stand-up bass, easy to look at, too. Talented group of people. Molly Tuttle was named Guitar Player of the Year in 2017 and 2018 by the International Bluegrass Music Association. First woman to ever win the Guitarist of the Year. Wow. That was only like 5, 7, 6 years ago.
She's on the concert circuit right now. June 28th, she'll be at Romp Fest in Owensboro, Kentucky. We have listeners there. And the other concert she's going to be at is June 29th, next day, at the Blue Ox Music Festival in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Won a Grammy 2023. Last year for Best Bluegrass Album of the Year. Way to go, Molly Tuttle and your Golden Highway. They are kick-ass. This young lady can flat-out pick a guitar. She can play a banjo, anything with strings on it, really.
Capabilities.
Great songwriter, great singer. The sky's the limit for this lady. Check out some of her stuff on YouTube, especially the live stuff, and then you'll see how awesome Molly Tuttle is and the Golden Highway. And check out this cover she does by Rancid.
Rancid?
Rancid. The like, what were they? You know, Rancid, the punk pop. I don't know what to call it. It was like ska punk or
ska
something.
Punk, yeah.
I don't know what to call it. But
sky punk. Fusion.
The song is called Olympia, Washington. I'm telling you, pull it up. You'll remember the song. Maybe it's pretty cool. Anyway, check out Molly Tuttle wherever you get your music. I want to thank everyone for hanging out on the back porch. We'll see y'all down the road.
See ya.
Said girl, you can't go back there, you'll be ours forever after. So she danced all night with a bottle in her hand, lost in a back.